This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Tomorrow, the U.S. is under pressure to provide peacekeeping in Liberia. What's the job of peacekeepers, and what are the risks? That discussion on tomorrow's show. This hour, we've been talking about President Bush's upcoming trip to Africa. Our first guest, Akwe Amosu, who is the executive editor of AllAfrica.com, had to leave for another appointment, and I just wanted to thank her for being with us this afternoon. The first country that President Bush will be visiting is Senegal. Joining us now from his office here in Washington to tell us about this West African country is Chris Fomunyo, Senior Associate at the National Democratic Institute. Thanks for being with us, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Lynn.
I know it's very difficult to give the history of a country in the very short time we have, but give us a little sense of Senegal. It was French rule before it became independent, and a little of its history.
Sure. Senegal got its independence in 1960, and before that had been a French colony alongside eight other countries in West Africa, which were being considered all of part of French West Africa, that had its headquarters in Dakar, which is today's capital of Senegal. And since independence, it's had successive elections, democratic elections, three presidents that have come into power and left power without the violence that some of its neighboring countries have known.
How do you account for that? Why has Senegal been able to succeed in having democratic elections, free press, a pretty high level of education for people? How has it succeeded where other African nations have not? What's the cause of that?
Sure. I think I believe that Senegal took advantage of its colonial heritage in the sense that because Dakar was the capital, the colonial capital of that territory of West Francophone West Africa, French West Africa, that a lot of Senegalese were assimilated or accepted into French society, and a lot of them very early on, even prior to independence, the Lamine Gaye, the Seda Senghor, and Mamadou Dia, and many others, had an opportunity to even participate very actively in French elections in Paris and in French politics in Paris. So by 1960, when Senegal, by the time Senegal was getting its independence, it had a cadre of Senegalese well-educated, well-trained leaders who were then able to provide the kind of leadership at independence for Senegal that many other African countries didn't have. You may remember that its first president, Seda Senghor, at independence, was prior to independence a professor at the Sorbonne, which is the French Academy, and he taught French. And I think people like Senghor and then later on President Diouf and today President Ward have always helped to keep Senegal on the democratic path.
All right, we are talking about Senegal and President Bush's trip to Africa, U.S.-African relations. Give us a call at 1-800-989-8255, and let's take a call from Cole in Gladstone, New Jersey. Hi, Cole.
Yeah. Hello?
Hi, Cole. Go ahead.
Thanks. I had the good fortune of attending a civics conference last summer in Rhode Island, and among the teachers there was American, Irish, Eastern European, and a gentleman from Senegal who has instituted a program called Project Citizen, whereby middle school students are taught civic institutions, and he felt that that approach really provided a good bedrock upon which nations could provide a cultural resistance to political tides back and forth. And that if countries of all kinds could get to students and teach them civic institutions as opposed to politics at the outset, that provides a much more stable platform in which to develop.
What's your reaction to that, Chris?
Well, it's typical Senegalese in the positive sense of the word, because going back to Seda Senghor, we know that the first president of Senegal was, tried to project this philosophy of la negritude, or, what was unique about blackness and about the black man and woman, and that was a philosophy that really developed in Senghor's time. So, I'm intrigued but not surprised that you have Senegalese who are very creative and very engaged in civic education activities, because that speaks to the vibrancy of Senegalese democracy, which is something that places Senegal on the top of the pedestal in West Africa.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Cole.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye now.
Something I was curious about, and that is a lot of the civil conflicts in African nations, countries like the Congo and Sierra Leone, are over their natural resources, oil and other minerals. What about Senegal? It doesn't have that kind of a... It doesn't have the natural resources, therefore it doesn't have those kinds of conflicts.
Well, that's true. Senegal's economy depends very much on agriculture and fisheries, and then tourism, which is a major source of hard currency. And in some ways, therefore, you could say that ironically, because Senegal hasn't got mineral resources, it therefore doesn't fall, or it reinforces the argument that some people make, that conflicts on the African continent have been fueled by a struggle over resources. And so that could be one explanation why Senegal hasn't experienced the kind of long-lasting conflict that other countries have known. I should add, though, that on the southern border of Senegal, there's a piece of land called the Casamance that has been in conflict with the rest of the state, some elements of whom have asked for secession from Senegal. But this has been an ongoing low-intensity conflict that the government of Senegal has had to grapple with, but it hasn't been the kind of conflict that has torn apart the country the way we've seen other countries in the sub-region.
Okay, let's take another call from Amy in Medford, New Jersey. Hi, Amy.
Hi. I actually just returned from Senegal about 3 days ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was visiting my friend who's in the Peace Corps there, and we stayed mostly in a village that was near Kédougou.
Yes.
Which is about 700 kilometers from Dakar.
Okay.
And I had an amazing experience, and I just wanted to point out that while it is, you know, there, it's getting a lot of attention for being a really great success story, but the village I was in, like, there was no electricity, there was no water, because all, like, the wells had run dry, and it's hard for, I think, Americans to understand when, you know, they didn't have any food, there wasn't any water, the kids were... barely had, like, clothes to wear. I'm sorry, it's kind of hard for me to...
Yeah. I can imagine Amy's, difficulties grappling with that situation, and it's the kind of shock that most of us get. Even I, as an African, you know, when I go into some of the countries that I visit in the line of my work and go into the villages and see how people are living under very difficult circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so while we talk about democratization and the efforts that have been made, in that light, we cannot help but recognize the fact that there's still a lot that needs to be done
right. To
improve upon the well-being of people. And Senegal, because it's on the northern tier of the African continent, has been exposed to desertification with
right. The
expansion of the Sahara Desert, and that's impacted negatively on people's lives in the rural areas.
Yeah, and it was, it was probably the most, I've never felt a community like I felt in their village, and there was about 250 people, and everyone knew my name, and it was just, I now speak like a tiny, tiny bit of the language they speak, which is Pular, and it was just an amazing experience, but, you know, also the realization that the basic resources, when there's such a big focus on AIDS, when, you know, they don't have any water, so.
Was that your first time in a country like that, Amy?
Yeah.
Where you confronted that kind of poverty?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is, that's always an incredibly, it's a life-changing experience
yeah,
many times.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thank
it. I guess I just am wondering also, how are the Senegalese at this point, do you think, reacting to the fact that President Bush is visiting? What is their take on that? I mean, are they welcoming that visit, would you say? Is there any skepticism out there about it?
Well, my sense is that most Senegalese would welcome the visit, because we also have to keep in mind that there's always some symbolism in the African sense of a first visit starting with Senegal, because this is the country that's host to the Gore Island. I mean, Gore Island is part of Senegal, and this was the last island on which African slaves were put on ships for the United States. And so that's almost that emotional attachment to the fact that if you visit Gore Island, you've really touched on a huge chunk of African history and parts of the bondage that link Africa to this country. So I think a lot of Senegalese really look forward to the visit. I should also say that Senegal, even though a Muslim country, is a country that's very tolerant. And the first president, Senghor, was a Christian in a country that's about 95% Muslim, and that was never an issue. So I think it's hopefully should be a good start to what Africans expect to be a successful trip.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
It's my pleasure, Lynn. Thanks for having me.
It was great to have you.
Bye-bye.
Chris Fomunyo is a senior associate at the National Democratic Institute, and he spoke to us from his office here in Washington. You're listening to Talk of the Nation. from NPR News.